This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome to the Artificial Intelligence Podcast with your host, Dr. Tony Huang. Today, I'm with two special guests, Ron and Alexa. Can you two introduce yourself?
Hey, good morning, Tony. Thank you for having us. My name is Ron Jones. I'm the CEO of G2X. We are a market intelligence firm that provides growth solutions for public sector contractors.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for having us on this morning. I'm Alexa Choi. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of G2X and have almost a 20-year career BD and capture and market intelligence subject matter expert in government contracting.
Thanks for being on the show. I'm really excited to have you two on. Like, during my research on like government contracting in general, your names came up because of the fact that everyone thought that you guys were like G2X is one of like the top like GovCon companies. And I wanted to get you guys on the show so that I can get your thoughts on a specific like memorandum that was released last month by the Biden administration. And so using your knowledge on the industry, can you give us like a quick like summary on like the memorandum that was released by the Biden administration that was titled Advancing Governance, Innovation, and Risk Management for Agency Use of AI?
Sure. Yes, OMB Memorandum M2410 is pretty much a framework for federal agencies to harness the benefits of AI while keeping a keen eye on responsible use and risk management. So just a few key points. So that a TLDR version, one of the important things is that there was a requirement established to appoint chief AI officers. Each agency is to appoint a chief AI officer. An interesting thing here is that it can be chief data officer or someone else that's already in an auxiliary role. Another important part of the memo highlighted the importance of AI governance and oversight. Essentially, it's an instruction for agencies to develop enterprise strategies for AI, address barriers to responsible use, and establish procedures for AI risk management, particularly with a focus on things that impact public safety and civil rights. Another important part of the memo highlighted risk management practices. So there are recommendations and requirements around risk management, and there are some minimum risk management practices that are to be established by December 1, 2024, and or if not established by that point, to cease using non-compliant AI. And another point here is the public engagement and transparency aspect of the memo, which essentially states that agencies need to ensure that the AI issues with an agency receive senior leadership attention. There is strong collaboration internally on AI adoption, risk management, and bringing in experts as early and often as possible to have diverse perspectives into governance.
Yeah, thanks, Ron. I think the other key points here to round out the memorandum is really the promotion of AI innovation. I think this is one of the more exciting things because everybody wants to talk about sexy new tools, but along with that comes the data compliance behind it. And I think there's going to be a lot of attention on how do we get to data cleansing, data accuracy, so that way the AI, whatever the models are, more accurate and actually usable. So I think that it's not going to just be the end goal that's really sexy, but like, how do we get there? And so I think that the promotion of AI innovation bullet really talks to that a little bit. Compliance and accountability is another bullet point that I think is important because shadow IT is a real thing. And that basically means that even though there's oversight from the CIO's office, different bureaus and administrations throughout the government will just go off and do their own thing and nobody will really know about it. So I think compliance and accountability just means that everybody is responsible for doing the right things. Collaboration and best practices, basically getting everybody on the same page, right? It's tough because DoD is right now currently leading the way with their CDAO and TradeWinds. initiatives, and they're really out there crushing it. FedCiv is also looking at standing up something similar. So that's going to be a big step forward. Basically, like I said, getting everybody on the same page.
Yeah.
And then, and really the last one, procurement and vendor management, that's an exciting area for everybody in this, because that means, like, how do we work together with the actual government to make sure we're moving things forward in the right way?
Moving forward for companies that interact with the government, what are they supposed to do? Are there any best practices that you guys can think of that would allow them to adhere to this new memorandum?
Ron, do you want me to take that?
Yeah, I have some thoughts on it as well, but why don't you go ahead?
I can start at least, and then I'll pass it over to you. So I think, Tony, one thing I always talk about when I talk about government contracting is, from an outsider's perspective, it seems like a black box. You're not really sure what's happening inside, but I would say to get really familiar with one specific problem set that you really want to solve, and then understand how that applies to the specific customer's mission. And then once you can get into the mission and how you're going to solve that problem, go and figure out who to talk to about that solution and get really crystal clear on the outcomes. Then I feel like that's a winning recipe for success.
Yeah, I definitely agree there. And I think specifically to the memo, there are a few things that are called out around this. When we talk about moving forward with AI use cases, for, as they refer to it, as procured AI. So when the government is purchasing AI from private industry vendors, they really hammer hard on transparency, on performance and improvement, continuous improvement. So interestingly enough, there's an entire section in that memo that talks about having sufficient documentation, right? Understanding the provenance of the data that is used, right? Evaluating claims, like really digging in when a vendor says, hey, we can do this with AI, really digging into whether or not that claim is actually true. And I think that goes back to an earlier point around having the skill set, the people on staff, the experts involved that can actually do due diligence on vendors that are proposing solutions. So you have the appointment of the chief AI officer, but there's a lot more into it that goes into it. And there's also a little bit about promoting competition so that vendors don't become unnecessarily and unfairly entrenched. So I'd love to see, and Lex, you may have some thoughts on this, I'd love to see in the coming months, right? Because it looks like this is moving pretty fast. In the coming months, how many small businesses are given a seat at the table to compete with AI solutions? Which kind of leads me to another point that maybe we can touch on, Tony, around the closing of the gap between open source and private industry in the kind of the way that AI has been evolving over the past 18 months or so, and how the next 18 months are going to look.
So I'm curious on your thoughts about this memorandum, where under the requirements taking effect on December 1st, agencies using AI tools will have to verify that they don't endanger the rights and safeties of the American people. Like, how do you envision the agencies doing this? Are they going to be buying off the shelf tooling? Are they going to be building it internally? What's your thought process?
Yeah,
go ahead, Ron.
Go for it, Alexa.
I was just going to say that's a really good question, because I think if you're looking at the whole concept of AI and AI sustainability and how it's going to work moving forward to drive innovation, I think your question gets directly at the root of the long pole in the tent. Like, how do you ensure safety of data, people, rights, all those things? It is the reason why the memo was written. And I don't know that the government has all the answers right now. And that's why they're trying to appoint the chief AI officers, to be like, okay, folks, let's get on the same page and figure this out. But like I had mentioned before, the CDAO and Tradewinds, Ron, this goes back to what you were saying. Tradewinds is actually a buying marketplace already stood up for AI solutions right now, where you can actually go outside of the FAR process, which is like an 18-month buying cycle, and you can they'll actually put out, hey, problem statements, and then small businesses, basically anybody registered in SAM, could go in there and pitch solutions. And if you get picked, they bypass the entire FAR, and it's like a CBER type of thing, where they can give you incremental small funding to get your solution off the ground and get it implemented And because it's the CDAO, which is the DoD AI office, you can actually make sure that you're working within the frameworks that the government's looking to stand up.
Yeah, I'd agree there. The Tradewinds effort is, in my opinion, been a beautiful orchestration of innovation and speed to market for AI solutions. They've been at it for a while, and it's been, from what I can tell, it's been pretty successful. And to your original question, Tony, I think the answer in short is that it's a very tall order, especially given the time frame suggested here, because you hear the term explainability thrown around with AI, and there's no lab that can with 100% certainty explain outputs. You have features like local interpretable model agnostic explanations and other type of methods to try to quantify way things are output or why things are output rather. But there's no today 100% explainability solution. Let's put it that way. I'm trying to basically explain it without getting too deep into the weeds. But I think this is why they hammer in on diverse opinions, a collective approach to having the right experts at the table from various backgrounds. And they even talk about the different departments within an agency being involved in the process. So it's not just one silo group, your CIO's office or your chief data office. They want procurement involved. They want human resources. They want everyone involved in the process. That should be helpful.
So I heard that you guys started a new research lab, and I think it's around like public sector focused AI solutions. Can you go over that a little bit?
Yeah. So recently, about a month ago, we started G2X Labs, which is essentially an AI research lab for public sector tooling. And what that really consists of is a playground for our customers, which are primarily federal contractors, large and small, that are growth oriented. So those teams that are responsible for growing the business, which are your business development, capture professionals and software companies, product companies, those are your sales professionals, right? They use our tools today to identify new opportunities and win more contracts, essentially. What we decided is that we have so much data and we have so much technical expertise. Let's start to try and use the feedback from our current customer base to find out what's going to be helpful for them in this realm. We also do have quite a few professionals in the federal government and in state and local governments who use G2X today. And so we've just created this lab to essentially provide free solutions to try out and help provide feedback on for things that may be useful down the road. So just as an example of one of those solutions, just a co-pilot that we've built called Athena that essentially digests public procurement data, summarizes and provides insights on, and that really just helps shave some time off of research for your business development professionals and even your procurement professionals, right? If they're looking to get information and they have to go Googling for it or they have to go into one of the other publicly available systems, let's save them some time and just let them just chat with the entirety of the third-party data, again, those public data sources available out there. So that's just one solution of many, but we're working on plenty of other stuff to more or less add value to both sides, the buy side and the sell side of the equation.
Wow, that sounds really exciting. So going back to a previous statement that Alexa stated, it looks like under the new policy from the OMB, the Office of Management and Budget, it looks like every federal agency has to designate a chief AI officer. That's really interesting to me because in industry, what I saw was that a senior executive role that has an AI focus didn't exist like 2 or 3 years ago. This is a very new role that is emerging right now. And before then, that role, the AI or machine learning responsibilities would fall upon like a chief data officer or like a chief information officer. But ever since the emergence of AI, more specifically the generative AI, there's been a big push to get like senior executive level talent that is AI focused leading that charge. And what are your thoughts on trying to hire like a chief AI officer? Like I know right now, like the market's so hot that the demand for AI talent is very high. If you look on the news, like Meta, which formerly was Facebook, they are foregoing like interviews, for instance, because they just want to get people that have AI talent into Meta. And on the flip side, on the supply side, it's so low right now because everyone's sucking up all of the AI talent. Like, how do you envision these?
Hey, Ron, can I jump in on this one?
Sure.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about this. So, Tony, this is a really good question. And I think one thing we need to keep in mind is that the government is not at the Meta level, right? The U.S. federal government is always 10 years behind any commercial sort of technology. So that's like the good news. The good news is they're not ready for like true data scientist, AI specialist type of smarty pants folks to come in and try to do the things. They need the chief data officers to stand up and say, you know what, as a chief data officer, my role should be the chief AI officer, because ultimately these are one and the same. Anybody that knows about AI knows that this is true. It's just that the government is like, oh, new fancy buzzword, AI. Maybe we need a new chief one. Maybe we need to have it be somebody different. So this might be a hot take, and I'm okay being on record saying that these two roles should be the same. I know Robert King, who is the chief data officer for the Department of Energy, and I stepped outside the room at a recent event, and we talked about this for a long time, and he's on board with my same thoughts. So I know that I'm not completely crazy, but I think that starting out looking at your chief data officers and saying, why can't these folks be the chief AI officers, is a good place to start as we move into a more AI focused world and delivery model, which then of course down the road, we can hire some of these data scientists from the commercial sector so we can eventually even out the playing field.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Alexa. Those are great points. And I'll just add to it with this. Tony, to your point, you mentioned the market being super hot with Meta. I also believe Elon Musk made news just this past week about the gigantic pay scale increase for AI talent at his companies. So that, I think, is another thing that has always been a problem for attracting top talent in the public sector, because public sector typically cannot afford to pay what private industry can afford to pay when it comes to really hot talent, right? And you're talking, as you like to call it, Alexa, monopoly money, right? For senior AI professionals that are being recruited to come and work at OpenAI and Tesla and other firms.
So Ryan had they were hiring a federal sales lead. And they were out of the gate looking to pay that person $350K base salary. And I was like, are you serious right now? What?
Compete with that, right? Obviously, you have to have someone. You go into public sector, public service, because you care about the mission. You care about making a difference, right? But just the talent pool is just so small to begin with. I know that the same conversation happened a few years ago, cyber talent. But I think this talent pool is even more rare and just sparse. And there's so much competition to attract that talent. So I think having good leadership at the top is one thing, but having the doers is going to be incredibly important. But on the other side of it, establishing a strong partnership and just a strong framework for partnering with industry on AI, as far as putting solutions in place, I think that's just going to have to be the standard, or it's going to have to be the best path forward, right? Teaming up with companies that have the talent to work in tandem with the government to put solutions that the government needs in place. I just don't see the government being able to keep up with the larger technology firms in that talent war for AI talent.
What I was going to say is the government has a very structured process for how they pay people. There's steps. There's like GS 5 to 15, and then there's the SES. So yeah, you can't just come out of the gate and pay people like 300 something K outside of scale. That's not how it works. However, we're all taxpayers in this country, and there are a lot of people to whom working for the mission really matters. And it becomes less about that and more about like, how can we solve citizen problems. And that I think a lot of people live there in that realm. And so it becomes a matter of what is going to attract the best talent, like the US Digital Services, right? When they stood that whole program up and said, okay, we're going to go to Netflix and Google, we're going to recruit these folks for 2 year stints to come work in the federal government and digital services. And a lot of folks applied for that. I think if they had a similar model that was very focused on AI, we could probably talk some of those folks into coming and working, maybe not forever, maybe not making being a public servant a career, but at least to come over and spend a couple of years solving citizen problems. Why? Because it impacts them, because they live here, because these are the things that are moving the entire country forward.
Yeah. And last point to that, for those listening, right? All that I said, definitely, I stand by, regardless of the fact that the government did authorize direct hire authority and accepted service appointments for a few of the AI roles, like AI computer scientists, AI computer engineers. There are two other roles, I believe. Just accepted service is essentially a competitive hiring initiative that allows the government to hire for critical needs outside of the standard process procedure that Alexa mentioned. But I think even then, you still face stark competition with private industry for hiring those key roles.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. From what I read, it looks like the Biden administration's signing a bill that will increase the pay for AI talent. That's in a year and a half from now, because this OMB director, Shalanda Young, said that the government's actually beginning like a national talent surge to hire like 100 AI professionals by the summer. And right now the Department of Homeland Security announced that they were like going to use AI to train immigration officers and protect infrastructure. So there's a lot of like upskilling that's about to happen and a lot of hiring that's going to happen in the government sector. And so I think moving forward in the interim, there's going to be a lot of synergy between government contractors and the government itself to alleviate all of the AI shortage that's happening right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to talk about a trend I'm seeing. I always try to look out for different trends. And one that I'm seeing is universities. I think the answer is universities, because the not just the R1 research schools, of which there's a few or something, but also the HBCUs, are putting out incredible AI talent. So I have a feeling that the government is going to look more towards innovative solutions and also thinkers from that sector.
Thanks for your thoughts, Ron, Alexa. Really enjoyed talking today. I'd actually would like to invite you back in a future episode, talk about the memorandum more in detail, specifically in AI governance and oversight. I think that like that's going to be a big key talking point moving forward, and is just like, how do you do the governance on AI? What do you do with the data? What about like data privacy, data laws? So in a future episode, I'd like to invite you two back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having us, Tony.
Yeah, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for being on the show. And until next time, stay curious.